Ophthalmologists are medical doctors who diagnose, treat, and perform surgery for eye diseases, including vision loss, detached retinas, cataracts, and glaucoma. And with me are two of the finest ophthalmologists in the country, Dr. Mark Gallardo and Dr. Louis Alpern. Welcome, gentlemen. Thank you for being here.
It's our pleasure. Thank you.
I am very excited to be going off script in a way, state of the arts being usually about the fine arts and activities in town. But to me, of course, medicine is one of the most exciting art forms, especially with dealing with the eye, such a small part of our body is a huge part of our lives. So I would like to know, what is your background, Dr. Gallardo? Where are you from, and where did you get your education?
So I'm a local boy. I grew up here in El Paso, went to Burgess High School. So I'm a proud Mustang. Actually went to undergraduate here at UTEP. Followed that with medical school at Texas Tech, where I spent 2 years in Lubbock and 2 years here for my clinical training. Then I went off to San Antonio for my residency in ophthalmology and then to UT Southwestern Medical in Dallas for my glaucoma fellowship. I was in academics for about a year and a half and found that private practice was a little bit better for me in terms of my ability to take care of the patients the way I needed to. So I went into private practice sometime in 2008. And have been practicing here since.
Ah, so glad you came back, and I'll say home. And I have to mention that I've had the pleasure of meeting and interviewing your mom and dad, Rachel Escamilla,
yes,
and your stepdad, Alberto Escamilla, wonderful painter and both beautiful people.
They are.
They are indeed, and they have he has his gallery still down in San Elisario. So welcome home. That's wonderful. And Dr. Alpern, where did you come from and how did we get hold of you?
I was playing golf on Lee Trevino's golf course when it was open, when I was looking for a place to open a practice. And fortuitously, one of the hospital administrators played through, and Jack Houghton recruited me to El Paso after I got a degree from Columbia and then couple degrees from Harvard, Harvard Medical School, Harvard School of Public Health, trained at Hartford Hospital and then WashU in St. Louis, and was looking to get away from academic medicine, had my fill of it as a resident and intern in a big system, and thought, gee, I speak Spanish. This would be a good place.
Oh, I'm so glad. Good for that game of golf. Excellent.
Yeah,
we lucked out. We lucked out. Well, you both have published extensively. You are sought after seekers nationally. You're absolutely top-notch experts in your field. And I have to tell my story as to why this fell in my lap, so to speak. My husband's vision, the prognosis was not terribly good. And I mentioned this to my daughter, who happens to work with Allergan, a major pharmaceutical company. And she said, well, Mom, that doesn't sound right. You've got to be able to do something. And click, click, click on the computer. And she says, there are four major clinical studies going on in El Paso right now for glaucoma. It had never crossed my mind that a clinical study might be something that we could take advantage of. So that's how I discovered you, Dr. Gallardo, and you have since operated on my husband's right eye, and he has 20/10 vision now, and he is looking forward very much to the second operation. And I was blown away by the entire clinical trial experience. Both of you are heavily involved in clinical trials. Can you give us an overview of how and why clinical trials work and what can patients expect?
We are currently doing clinical trials in presbyopia, that is, people around the age of 40 lose the ability to read. We are doing studies comparing newer medications in glaucoma from the standard of care currently, dry eye, ocular allergy, blepharitis, inflammation of the lids for people that have chronic infections. And in all of these studies, we tend to recruit from our own patient population people that want to advance science, who are reliable in terms of taking medication and showing up for visits. In all candor, they get paid for their time. And they're treated as VIPs because many of these studies are time limited, so they have to show up on certain days at certain times to have their pressure measured or some other measurement so that the other confounding variables are limited. And this has been a a very successful group of patients in all respects because they get the advantage of the newest of technologies with significant safety parameters mm-hmm. included.
So can anything go wrong in a clinical study where a patient walks away worse off than they started?
Well, I think anything in medicine has risks. Mm-hmm. Even with our current FDA-approved medical devices and medications, there are side effects to everything. And so we monitor these patients very, very carefully. The FDA does oversee all of these studies to ensure that patient safety is at the forefront of everything that we're doing. And anytime there is any form of adverse event, we have to immediately report it. And if there appears to be a trend in complications or side effects of a medication or a surgical device, the FDA would immediately intervene.
Yes. In my case, when I became aware of clinical trials, I went to the website, which is very simply clinicaltrials.gov, and it is a self-guided, extremely simple thing to follow. It says, find a study, and then you click on either recruiting and not yet recruiting studies, or you click on all studies. You also have to fill in the condition or the disease or other related terms like the name of a drug or whatnot and the country, and then you hit search, and you start flipping through these possibilities. So a person has to have an accurate diagnosis, first of all, if they're going to go to this website and try to do anything that's truly constructive. And as you pointed out, Dr. Alpern, they have to be really committed and responsible, or they can compromise the entire purpose of a drug study and slow down science for lots of other people. How many patients would you say that you see on a regular basis who are part of clinical studies, Dr. Gallardo?
I would say at this point, with the number of patients we have enrolled in studies, about 10% of our patient population per day are committed to research subjects, and then the rest are just our routine patients that we see day in, day out.
Should I expect a physician to direct me toward a study, or is it something that I should go looking for? In that you're involved in clinical studies, I'm assuming that not every office is.
You know, I think there's many ways that patients can approach clinical studies. For the most part, I know Dr. Alpern and myself draw a lot of our patients that are going to enroll in studies from our own practice, but we do apprise the rest of our eye care community of studies that we're currently on, so that they can keep their eye on potential candidates for different studies, simply because it can be a little difficult to find patients that meet the inclusion and exclusion criteria for studies because they're very strict. Mm-hmm. And so for every 100 patients we see, we might just find one that might be a candidate.
All right. So there's quite a ratio of elimination.
Yes.
What are some of the factors that would make a person ineligible, or if there are such?
There's a lot of different factors, and it really depends on the study. Some studies have very specific parameters in terms of glaucoma, that patients have a certain stage of glaucoma, and if they go beyond that, they're not candidates. They have to have a certain pressure to be enrolled. In some of the studies I'm on, some patients had to have had previous glaucoma filtering surgery before they're able to be included in a study, while another study, it's actually an exclusion criteria. So it's very study-specific.
And I would say also that there are, say, for dry eye studies, there are many, many, many medications that people use frequently that can cause dry eye and confound the ability to measure an improvement and are an excluding variable. So that patient might have the condition, might be motivated to participate, might be reliable, but are taking a medication and can't or don't wish to stop that other medication and therefore are excluded from participating in that particular study. So Dr. Guyader is totally correct. There are many factors that enter into all this, and there isn't one paintbrush that allows everybody to participate that might wish to do so.
Give us an example of some of the studies that you are currently conducting. I know that in your practices, you focus on slightly different types of procedures and treatments. Mm-hmm. Would you want to give the breakdown?
We are doing mostly medical treatment, and Mark's a wonderful surgeon, very skilled doing glaucoma procedures. And our focus has been more on the medical treatment of glaucoma, the medical treatment of dry eye, anti-inflammatories used in cataract surgery, and a treatment of lid infections and lid disease that can make cataract surgery potentially more problematic. So that in all of these are sometimes shorter, sometimes longer, lasting anywhere from 6 weeks to 2 years. And I'll turn it over to Mark in terms of what he's doing in terms of surgery, per se.
I was negligent as far as explaining also that you, Dr. Alpern, are with the Cataract and Glaucoma Center on North Mesa and also on Zaragoza. You have two offices. And Dr. Gallardo, you're with El Paso Eye Surgeons on North Mesa. Do you have another office that you operate
from? We do have a little satellite close to Cella Vista in the Golden Key Plaza.
Okay, so you both have East and West offices. And Dr. Gallardo, what are some of your current studies that you're excited about?
There's actually quite a few, but for the most part, like Dr. Alpern had mentioned, I do focus more on the surgical aspect of the clinical studies. And there's really two arms of studies that we're in. Those that are really truly in the experimental phase, where they're still part of phase three clinical trials. So these devices or procedures are not approved yet by the FDA, but they are studies that are being overseen by the FDA and sponsored by the manufacturer of the devices for the management of glaucoma. So various different devices that we're using to enhance the patient's natural outflow system in the eye, similar to the way in cardiology where patients have coronary artery disease, cardiologists try to enhance their natural blood flow to the heart by using their own arteries by implanting stents. We have a lot of new devices for the management of glaucoma in a microinvasive nature. And then we have those trials where the devices are already FDA approved, but the companies really wanted to collect a little bit more data outside of their pivotal trial. And so these are post-market studies. So there are procedures or devices that we've actually had a considerable amount of experience with. We're just looking at them in a little bit different fashion so that we already know some of the safety profiles that are already affiliated with these devices. So those are the two main arms, but it's principally focused on glaucoma surgery.
We are speaking with Dr. Mark Gallardo and Dr. Louis Alpern, two local ophthalmologists, about clinical trials and other issues that are vision-related. We will be right back.